pretty interesting thought. It's his breath in our lungs. How do you enjoy breathing? I like it a lot. In fact, everybody breathe in. Everybody breathe out. And let's say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's his breath. And the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living being, a living soul. That's how it works. And today we celebrate this breath of life. I've got two things I want to talk about before we get into the teaching part. First, both of them are next weekend. Next Saturday is Harvest for Haiti, and I haven't seen after the first service, but we still had a bunch of slots open. And here's the deal. You come in on Saturday, pick a time slot, you pay $35, and you get in this big row, and you pack meals. We're planning to pack 35,000 meals on Saturday in the fellowship hall. And you can do that. Yeah, you can. So that sheet should be overflowing. I shouldn't have to ask anybody for that. And the Lord said, I was hungry and you fed me. And that's all the reason we need. So when you leave here today, pick you a time slot. I think there's several still left. And then we'll come on Saturday and we'll pack meals for Haiti, okay? Number two, next Sunday is our child dedication service. And I wanted to communicate that most people assume that they're babies, and that's normally what we do, but we don't limit it to babies. Maybe you've got a young child that never went through a dedication service. It's not a baptism. We don't do that. But it's just to dedicate your child and pray over them, commit their future to God. If you've got a young child, you want to do that too. You're welcome to participate in that, but you would have to do something pretty quick. Send a picture to Will Cooper, or associate minister, and give him the information to be on the schedule for next Sunday. So I want to mention both of those. Well, this past summer, 21 faculty members and myself, all from Nineveh, took 92 middle school campers at Camp Calvary and did a week of camp. 92 middle schoolers. Just let that sink in for a moment. The ratio was 92 to 22. They could have took us at any time, but they didn't know it. I've been the dean of that particular week of camp, Calvary, for more than 20 years. Each year, I pick a theme and a theme song to help drive across a spiritual truth. And this past July, my theme was... Rescue Story. It's a song by Zach Williams. We sing it here at the church. I'm sure you are familiar with that song. Actually, we'll sing it during the invitation time today. But that theme song was based upon a theme scripture verse. And I based the entire week this past summer around a simple scripture verse from Colossians that we'll get into in a few minutes. And since July, it's been in my mind that I wanted to do something about that verse here, something about that. It was so powerful. It moved me, and it was powerful in that week of camp. And I'll give you an example. We baptized 10 of those middle schoolers, and 21 of them rededicated their lives to Christ. So... let's see what happens here today when I take that scripture and expand it in a little different direction, and we talk about this rescue story. The core scripture for the week was this. God is going to make an offer to humanity. And the scripture that I'm about to read to you is this offer of God to all of humanity. And he offers to come and rescue you from the darkness. But he's not going to make you accept his offer, but he's going to make you an offer. And the question is, do you believe his offer is sincere and legitimate? And do you believe that to reject the offer will have dreadful consequences? So I want you to look at this picture before I read the scripture. I was very specific. This wasn't for camp. This is for here. When I did this picture today, there's a real message in itself. There's a great darkness. And the only escape from the darkness is a light. But in the light, the darkness has to leave. But the light is limited to that individual in that moment. Okay? So just keep that picture. Without that light, you wouldn't see anything here. There's a person there, but you wouldn't know there's a person there because he would be in the dark. But what makes that person visible and real in the scene is simply there's light in his life, okay? So here we go. It's found in Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us. So we've been rescued from where? A kingdom of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Everything needed to save us from the coming darkness. There is an approaching darkness. I'm going to get into that in great detail today. There is an approaching darkness. Everything needed to save us from this approaching darkness, the coming wrath and judgment of God, has already been done. Do you know that? Everything necessary to rescue us from this kingdom of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of his dear Son has already been done. God completed this rescue story on the cross some 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean that everyone will be rescued. That's not what I'm saying. I wish that's what I could say, but it's not true. It means the offer to rescue everyone has been completed. So God has done what he needs to do to create this humanity rescue story. Rescue from what? Okay, here we go. There's a kingdom of darkness. And God wants to rescue out of that kingdom of darkness. There is a darkness. A couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon called Dark Eyes, in which I really got into the details of this darkness thing. There is a darkness, and it's on the earth today, and it's called sin. And that darkness, listen carefully, because here's why this is such a big deal, and you're going to find that I'm passionate about this topic. Left untreated, this darkness will one day become permanent. Is anybody listening? Left untreated. If you don't experience this rescue story, one day this darkness will become permanent in people's lives if the sin and the darkness do not come in contact with the light and the truth. The result is the darkness becomes permanent darkness. So when this scripture is, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. That is so that the darkness doesn't become permanent, because it will. It's called faith. And faith has this supernatural ability to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness, to get us out of the dark and put us in the light. And the light is the kingdom of the dear Son of God. The rescue is from the darkness, which is sin. Listen, the rescue is from the darkness. And what is the darkness? What is the darkness? It is sin. But what is the sin in the darkness? It is the absence of God's presence. God's not in the darkness. Anybody listen? God's not in the darkness. So when he rescues us from the kingdom of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his dear Son, he's rescuing us from the absence of God's presence, which is the darkness. The rescue mission is to send the light into the world and cast out the darkness before it becomes permanent. I'm going to say it a bunch today. There is a time coming when the darkness is going to become permanent. There will be a place created of permanent darkness. If you don't get the rescue story, the darkness becomes permanent. Cast out the lie. How? If the light is the truth, then we've got to cast out the lie with the truth. We cast out the darkness with the light. We cast out the lie with the truth. When? You have to do it before it becomes permanent. I've often thought that the real simple message of God to the church is this: we're supposed to tell the truth and turn on the light. I mean, how simple is that? We tell the truth. We believe that what I believe in my, what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on this planet. So we tell the truth, and we, by doing so, we turn on the light. We tell the truth. And what does the world want the church to silence right now? This. Well, we would just join in the darkness. Because the only way to dispel the darkness is to tell the truth and turn on the light. And when I tell the truth, when I speak the truth, I'm turning on the light so that you can see. You can see. You can see the darkness. But if you're in the darkness and there is no light, then you might even come to this conclusion that the darkness is the light. And then it will become permanent. Cast out the lie with the truth before it becomes permanent. Now, here's the foundation lesson today. You'll never understand this rescue story I'm going to talk about today, this rescue mission of God, until you understand the nature of the two kingdoms. One is of darkness and one is the light of the dear Son. What's the scripture? He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That means there's two kingdoms, and between the two is a transfer. You got to move out of one and move into the other. One is of lies and deception, and one is of absolute and unchangeable truth. So let's go to the word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. Do you see what context is? The apostle John has heard the truth and the light from Jesus. Now he's going to pass it on to us in the room. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now we declare this message to you. What's the message? God is light. And there's no darkness in God at all. Zero. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship, unity, communion with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. And if you're not practicing the truth, guess what you're practicing? The lie. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Okay, there's the church, the body of Christ. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us. This is the rescue story. He cleanses us. This is a wonderful description of God's rescue story, his rescue mission to all of mankind. What? What is it? God is light. He's not the opposite of darkness. He's the absence of darkness. You see the difference? He's the absence of darkness. There's no light in him anywhere, anytime, anyhow. He's only light. This is the message that the Apostle John heard from Jesus. God is light. There's no darkness in him. Jesus is the truth, and there's no lie or deception in him. The rescue story that we're talking about today is based on absolute truth. But you must understand that there is another kingdom at work here. In this heavenly scene, there's another kingdom. This is a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom that has a dominion and a power and an authority, at least for now. And are you ready? It's growing in power. Right now, it's growing in power, and it's growing in dominion, and it's growing in authority. And that would stress me out if it were not for the fact that I read and he said that was what was going to happen right toward the end. Right toward the end, the kingdom of darkness will be expanding exponentially. And it is. Remember the theme verse. I want you to be able to memorize it. It's very simple. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. I told you it was easy. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay? That's what we're talking about. The darkness is from Satan, and Satan represents the absence of God's light and the absence of God's truth. Notice the two. The darkness comes from Satan, and it is representative of the absence of God's light and the absence of God's truth. Satan has neither light nor truth. Satan is a liar, Jesus said. He's the father and the originator of every lie that's ever been told. If God is light and in him there's no darkness at all, if Jesus is the truth and in Christ there's no lie or untruth, then Satan is the darkness. And in him there is no light and there is no truth at all. Zero, none, never. So when he speaks, he's a liar. Whatever he talks is a lie. There is no light that comes from him ever. Only lies and darkness. This is the root of God's gospel story for all mankind. God was going to send his son into our dark and sin-filled world. And understand this, our sin-filled dark world was under the authority and the dominion of Satan when Jesus came. A kingdom of darkness. When Jesus comes in the flesh, born in Bethlehem, he comes out of heaven into a kingdom of darkness. What's the darkness? The darkness is sin. Okay? It comes into a sin-filled kingdom. How do I know? In John 12:46, here's what Jesus says. I have come. So he's talking about when he leaves heaven, comes to the earth. I have come as a light to shine in a dark world. Okay? So he's describing the rescue mission, the rescue story. I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer have to do what? You won't have to remain in the dark. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's why he came. That's the gospel. Light was coming to rescue us from the darkness. Light was coming to rescue us from the absence of God, which is darkness. Why is it urgent? Because one day the darkness will become permanent. And you better get the rescue story in your life before the darkness becomes permanent, because there's a point of no return to where it becomes permanent. This transfer from the darkness into the light is rooted in faith, accomplished fully by the blood of Christ, forgiven our sins. The blood of Christ has purchased our freedom. We belong to God now. We've been transferred. Okay, we've been transferred. You used to be in the darkness, now you're in the light. You used to belong to Satan, now you belong to God. There's a transfer. You cannot remain in both places. You can't be in the dark and be in the light. This transfer from the darkness into the light is based on the fact that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to pay off my sin debt and rescue me from the darkness before the darkness becomes permanent. Big point. You probably can tell. This is a big point. Before the darkness becomes permanent. The darkness on the earth today is called sin. And the darkness will soon. And yeah, I said that word. And the darkness will soon become permanent for those who do not find their way into the light of Christ and have their sins forgiven. It will become permanent. How do I know? In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, here we go, I am the light of the world. Now, he's already told us that he's the light that came into the darkness, right? But now he says, I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, You won't have to walk in darkness because why? Because you have the light that leads where? To life. There's the darkness. It's not life. It's death. This rescue mission is the greatest act of mercy ever recorded on the earth. There are two kingdoms at war with each other, one of light and the other of darkness and the absence of light. Now, I admit freely, I cannot comprehend the spiritual war in the heavenly realms. I can try, I can take the scripture. I really can't comprehend angels, demons doing a battle around this church today, around your house, but I believe it's true. I can't comprehend the spirit realm because I'm not in the spirit realm. But I believe with all of my heart that there's a battle that's raging. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So that battle that we talk about, this spiritual war between light and darkness, good and evil, it's not between me and you. That person that you're struggling with at work or in your family or in school, that's not really where the battle's at. That's where it manifests itself. It presents itself there. But the battle is really where? It's here. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in an unseen world. Well, you can see that guy down the road, so we're not talking about him. It's about an unseen world. You can't see this world. Against mighty powers in this dark world. The reason you can't see them is they're also in the dark. You can't see them. And evil spirits in the heavenly places. I don't put the darkness today, let me be clear. I don't put this darkness on an equal level with the light. I don't do it. They're separate. The darkness is what happens without the light. They are not opposites. That would give too much credit and too much power to the darkness. One kingdom is based on truth. I want to hold it up. The other kingdom is based on the absence of truth. They want us to take it down. One kingdom is based on truth. The other is based on the removal of truth, the absence of truth, which is what? A lie. Sin is the darkness, and sin is the rejection of the truth and the light of God. One day, the darkness will become permanent for all those who have rejected the truth. They've rejected the truth and thus rejected the light of God, which is the kingdom of his dear son. The grave is a great and powerful darkness. So let's talk about the darkness. The grave is a great and powerful darkness. In the book of Genesis, God declares that sin equals death, a spiritual truth. Sin, if you sin, you will surely die, right? Sin equals death. Death is the grave. Death is a darkness. I have come, God sent his son into our dark world. Why? To rescue us from the kingdom of darkness, to rescue us from the grave and transfer us into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the resurrection of the dead. For now, the darkness is reigning on this present earth. There are graveyards. I've had the pleasure of traveling all over the planet. I've been in several continents. I've traveled a lot in my lifetime. Everywhere there's a consistency, there's graves. It's the end of all mankind eventually is the grave. It's a terrible, great, powerful darkness. For now, the darkness is reigning on the present earth. Why? Sin is the darkness. Now, here's where it gets interesting. There's a darkness of the grave. Sin equals death, and sin equals death equals the grave, right? It's everywhere. Nobody's going to argue with me about that. Everybody eventually dies. Why? Well, it's sin. So why don't you stop sinning? Because you love it. Nobody wants to say it out loud. But the fact is, because you don't want to stop sin. It is your nature. It is my nature. I'm not looking at you funny. It is my nature to sin. It is the natural Terry that leans away from God into the darkness. The natural Terry doesn't lean into the light. The natural Terry leans into the darkness. You must understand that the light and the darkness in this spiritual world cannot coexist. Listen carefully. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is not going to coexist with the darkness in the spiritual realm. He is light, and the darkness has to be dealt with. That's the rescue story. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Not so we could bring the darkness into God's presence, but so that we would leave the darkness because of God's presence in our lives, forgiving our sins. This is the essence of the spirit war. You must understand that the light and the darkness cannot coexist. The light and the truth always drive out the darkness and the lie. The light always drives out the darkness. It's true in the physical realm. If you walk into a dark room, turn on the light switch, what happens to the darkness? The darkness leaves. The light overpowers the darkness. The church was designed by God to come into the darkness of the world and drive out the light. They don't coexist. They don't commingle. The light overpowers the darkness. The darkness doesn't overpower the light. The darkness is the absence of the light. So bring the light, and the darkness has to move. This is how the Apostle John describes the rescue story that transfers people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it begins with, are you ready? Go on and say, uh-huh. It goes faster if you do, okay? So how? This. So I'm going to set it up. In John 1, verse 4, the word is truth. But what is the word? The word became flesh. The word became a person, the Son of God. The word became flesh. So here we go, verse 4. The word gave life. What? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, right? There's the light. Now the word gave life to everything that was created. And his life, now this word's a person. His life brought light. There you go. This word brings life. And this word brings life to everyone. Brings light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish the light, right? It's the other way. The light extinguishes the darkness. The darkness never extinguishes the light, which tells you which one's got the great power, the light. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the coming light out of heaven so that everyone might believe because of John's testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. You see a lot of light in this story? The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Here's the rescue story. He's coming down here. Surely, everyone will want the light, right? So the one who is the true light was coming into the world. So everybody wants the light. You'd be wrong. Why? Because we're already in the darkness. And in the darkness, you get used to the darkness. And you get to where you kind of enjoy the darkness. And so I'm going to pause in the story and tell you a story. It's about a week ago, my youngest son, Michael, shot a deer with a bow and calls Chad, my oldest son, says I want him to come and help track it. Chad asked me, did I want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. It was late in the day, it was getting dark, so we ran on up there and thought we would track this deer back in this deep woods. So we take my two grandsons, Chad's two boys, Case and Colt, we take them with us. So we, Ryan Dean eventually shows up, goes with us. So we go, and there's a blood trail, so we track this deer. He's jumped the fence and gone in this really deep woods, really deep woods. And we track and we track and we track and we track. And I'm kind of hanging back with the two grandsons, and they're mostly up there doing all the tracking. I'm just kind of hanging out. And so we're at some point, we go up and down, cross creeks and all this, and this is a deep, deep woods that goes miles and miles and miles. So at some point, I'm going down this hill, and there's this thought that hits me. And here's the thought. I don't think I know how to get back out of here. It's about 9 o'clock at this point, and you know, I grew up in the country, so not very far from here, but I don't know this woods. And you make all these turns, and you can't see the sky, so you can't get direction because it's so heavy, trees. I don't think I can get out of here. So I have this idea. They haven't found the deer yet, and he just keeps going and going and going. There's a trail, but they can't find him. So I've got the two boys, and I thought, let's hang back up here for a little while, and let's just kind of watch them with their flashlights go up and down the hill. Because I'm trying to process how I might get back out of here. And plus, I'm having this idea, if you find that deer, I have no idea how we're going to get him out of here. So at some point, I can see them with their lights way, pretty far away, and I'm thinking, well, there's a pretty good gap between us. The logical thing, at this point, I'm thinking, you ought to take those two boys, those two kids, and you ought to get out of here. You ought to get back. It's getting late. We're deep in this woods. Let them find the deer and figure out. They'll be all right. But you and those kids ought to get out of here. But at that moment, I thought, well, you're a wimp. You ought to get down there and help them. So the wimp, it won over, and I went on down there, took, okay, boys, come on, we'll go. And we go another half a mile, probably. By this time, we got to be way over a mile into this woods. And they still haven't found the deer, and it's pitch dark, and we're getting close to 10 o'clock at night. And Chad and Michael and Ryan, they're up there chasing the blood trail, and the boys are starting to get a little tired, and I am too, and I'm thinking. So I go to Chad, and I said, Chad, I think it'd be a good idea if me take two boys and go on back. At first, he looked at me like, no, that's a bad idea. I don't know whether he thought, you're going to lose my boys in the woods is what you're going to do. But we talked about it, and I thought, this is the best idea. Y'all can go on and track the deers all night long if you want to, but I need to get these boys back. So at that point, they go on, and I take off with Case and Colt up the hill. It's not 10 minutes until I realize totally I have no idea where I'm going. There's no point of reference. I mean, you can think you're walking straight, but you can't walk straight, and you'll hit a tree. I mean, this is how it works. So here's where I'm going. And I want you to look at, as I tell the story, I want you to envision, that's me with two boys behind me that night. I can't see the sky. I got no point of reference. You know, if I could see the sky, maybe I could, you know, do something. So I have a cell phone. And praise God, there's a cell signal in that part of the woods. And I open up a GPS, and I can see my little blinking green dot. And I know where I need to go because I know that land out there. I need to be over there, and I'm over here in this blinking dot about a mile and a half in this deep woods. So maybe you don't know this. It'll save your life one day. You can point that cell phone, and you can actually track that dot walking through the woods if you pay attention. And here I am with these two boys going through the woods doing this with that phone. Praying that battery don't quit, neither does the flashlight. Well, I can tell you when I crossed that last hill and I could see where the truck was parked, I don't know that I've ever been more happy in my lifetime getting those two boys out of there. And we got down to the truck and we were kind of catching our breath. Those kids were exhausted, and I was too. And I said, okay, we're here now, we're safe, we're fine. I got a question. Was there a point in that hour and a half walk back in the dark that you all thought, Granddaddy doesn't know what he's doing? So Colt, the youngest one, looks at me, and I love Colt. Colt looks at me and he said, no, I knew you were going to get us back over here. And Case said, yep, there was a point I thought he is not, you have no idea, walking through the woods with a phone. And the reason I tell you that story today is this. By the way, they never found the deer. We are in a great darkness. Whether you know it or not, this is your story. And the darkness is approaching at warp speed. And you got one light. And God's rescue story has provided you the truth and the light of truth. You got one chance before the darkness becomes permanent, is to walk in the light of this truth. Now, what's the problem with that? We know there's a grave. We know there's a darkness. We know there's sin. We know there's death. So this ought to be easy, right? Right? This ought to be easy. It's not. Surely everyone will see the horror of the grave, the great and powerful grave. I don't want that darkness, so I'll run toward the light, right? Maybe that would be true if there were not for the kingdom of darkness and a great deception that is the kingdom of darkness, the lie itself. Because you can't see in the dark. And people who are in the dark can't see. And the idea of the church is we would take the light into the dark so that they could see that they're in the dark. The darkness is powerful, and the delusion of sin prevents people from seeing the light of God. In John 12:35, Jesus replied, my light will shine for just a little longer. There's a time element to the light. My light will shine for just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so that the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. I'll testify to that. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light. Listen, while there is still time. And then you'll become what? Children of the light. While there's still time. Why? Before it becomes permanent. I want you to, just for a moment, think about two words, forever darkness. Forever darkness. When I was in the woods that night, I'm going to tell you, there was a point, several points, in where it was, and I mean it's honest and very serious. It was an anxiety, unsureness that I can get out of here tonight. And if it's me, you know, it'd be one thing. I'll figure it out. I had warm clothes on, you know, I'll be all right. But I got two kids. I'm responsible for them. I looked at Chad and said, I'll take care of them. I got to take care of them. I got to get them out of the darkness. I can't lose them out here. It's not just me anymore. It's these two boys. You got families, and you're in the darkness. And do you know you're in the darkness? Do you care that your kids, your grandkids are in this darkness? And how are you going to get them out of the darkness? And how are you going to get them into the light? Jesus says, while there's still time, before it becomes forever darkness, walk in the light of truth. So why is this a problem? Okay, why is this so difficult? Why doesn't this make sense? There's a grave, there's darkness, I can't see in the darkness. Why is it a problem? Why don't everybody naturally migrate toward the light, right? There's another kingdom. That's why I told you when I started, you'll never get this until you understand there's two spirits, there's two kingdoms. There's another kingdom, another spirit at work. And that spirit is powerfully deceptive. The spirit of Antichrist. That's what John calls it. The spirit of Antichrist has the power to make people think that darkness is light and light is darkness. Oh, what would that do? In Matthew 6:22, Jesus says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. Now, I hit this 2 weeks ago. The eye is the portal to the soul. So the light that comes from Christ into my eyes would penetrate my soul, into my ears. These are portals through which I can get the light of truth. I hear the word, I see the word, I receive the word. It hits my soul, it transforms my darkness, right? So Jesus says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And that's not even the problem. If the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? You know why it's deep darkness? Because you think it's light. What? The darkness? You think it's light. The Gospel of Luke puts it like this. Jesus says in Luke 11:35, make sure the light you think you have is actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, and I need to hit this. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, what's the dark corner? See, there's this idea that we can compartmentalize our sin. And I can let the light of Christ and the light of truth in my life, but there's this issue, this sin in my life that's over here in this corner, and I'm not going to deal with that one. Because you know what? I kind of like that one. I've kind of grown attached to that one. That one makes me, it satisfies me. So I got this light coming into my eyes and my ears and the portals of my soul. But I got this dark corner, this place that I've kind of isolated and protected from the light. I'd like for it to remain in the darkness. That's what sin does. You know, the sin is, the light has come to expose the darkness and to remove the darkness, not to exist in the darkness. It is to remove it. So let me go back to the scripture. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, which means you've allowed the light to cover those secret sins, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. And how can we make sure that the light we think we have is actually darkness? Is not actually darkness? How can we make sure that the light we think we have is not actually darkness? It's called the Word. It's called the truth. I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on this planet. The Word is clear about the darkness. The darkness is sin, and Jesus came to rescue us from the darkness of sin and transfer us, move us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Just about everyone knows John 3:16. Right? Everybody in this room, you know John 3:16. I was watching a football game. It's pretty consistent. In the end zone, somebody, who are these people that carry around John 3:16 signs? Everywhere you go, a football game, somebody's in the end zone, John 3:16. But very few people understand the context in what follows that verse. It's the reason for the rescue story. The reason for God to send His only Son down into our darkness follows John 3:16. Do you know the rest of that story? It is the rescue story. So I want to read it to you, starting in 16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish. There's the darkness. But have eternal life. There's the light. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world. That's not why He came into our darkness. Not to judge the world, but to save the world, rescue story, us, through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And this judgment is based on this fact. Now pause.
Some translations say, this is the verdict. This is the conclusion. This is it. What? Why don't you just naturally go toward the light? I don't want to perish. You don't want to perish. God doesn't want you to perish. Everybody doesn't want to perish. So why are people perishing? Verse 19. This is it. I'm not going to answer it. Jesus is going to answer it. So why are people perishing? And the judgment is based on the fact. God's light came into the world. But people love darkness more than light. That's why. I can love Jesus, I can love darkness, but I can't love both. Are you ready? God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light, for their actions, their hearts are evil. And all who do evil, they hate the light. Huh? You remember I talked about that dark corner in your heart? That dark corner that you didn't want the light to come into? Why? Because you hate the light in that dark corner. Because that light, if you allow that light in that dark corner, it'll change your life. And you don't want to change your life. You don't want to. And this is the conclusion. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near the light for fear of that what? Their sins will be exposed. Well, that's why he came. But those who do what is right come into the light. No dark corners. Oh, Lord, may your light penetrate every part of my life. May your truth penetrate every part of the lie that has filled me for all these years. But those who do what is right come to the light so they can see, so others can see that they're doing what God wants. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, into our present reality, our nation has plunged fully into the darkness. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you the truth. Our nation has plunged fully into the darkness. Truth and light are being rejected and mocked while the darkness and lies are advancing at a speed that my mind cannot comprehend. The speed in which the darkness is coming across this land is beyond my ability to measure. Abortion. You know, I still struggle with the idea that people fight and rally to have the right to kill an unborn child in the womb. Where Texas passed this law where the heartbeat bill, so if you get a heartbeat, you can't do an abortion, and people are fighting for the right to take that baby's life. Now, that looks like an incredible darkness, but the ones in the darkness think it's light because they can't see. The LGBTQ movement, gender neutrality, darkness, pornography, darkness, lawlessness. Is it any surprise that the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness? Darkness. Everyone doing what their hearts desire without any thought of the eternal consequences of sin, the eternal consequences of a darkness that becomes eternal, of a darkness, a grave, a judgment, an encounter with the light called God, and the consequences to follow. Darkness has taken hold of our nation. Makes me sad to say it. I deal in reality. And our nation has very little light remaining. Now, listen, I understand the world's darkness. Why wouldn't the world be dark? Jesus came to the dark world. The world is dark without Jesus. Okay, let's just admit it. I understand the world's darkness. But now, many in the church have joined in the darkness. I don't get that one. I'm not going to get that one. We need an awakening of truth. We need an awakening of truth. We need an awakening of light. It is our only hope.
Jesus called the church very clearly to be the light of the world. We need to awaken the light and awaken the truth. So today, I want to tell you an American history story. A story about a time some 280 years ago when a young preacher preached a sermon in Enfield, Connecticut. You might wonder why I today would bring up a 280-year-old sermon from Connecticut. That message is considered to be the beginning of a great revival that broke out across America, and we need a great revival in America. It was called the Great Awakening. And here's my question for everyone today. What kind of sermon do you think would have to be preached that God would use to cause a nation to repent of their sins and turn out of the darkness into the light before the darkness becomes permanent? What do you think that sermon would look like? The preacher's name was Jonathan Edwards. Edwards' message centered on the idea that all humans were sinners. We are sinners. Covered in the darkness. God was an angry judge, and we all need to seek his divine forgiveness. He preached that our salvation would come only by placing our faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus was the only thing that could save us from the forever darkness, the grave, and hell that was fast approaching. In 1741, Jonathan Edwards gave a famous and emotional sermon called, are you ready? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How do you like that title? I bet that'd draw them in. Everybody'd be taking Sunday off. News of that message spread quickly throughout the colonies. What do you think was in that sermon that caused a national revival to break out? You know, that's a great question. What did he say? What did, obviously it's the Holy Spirit, but what did God do in that message, and how did he do it? What was the content that broke a great revival, an awakening in the country? I'd like to know. Edwards' sermon, so I'll go back, and I challenge you, go back and Google it. Look it up. The whole sermon's in there. Read it. Read about the Great Awakening, how it changed towns, villages, states, a nation. What was in there? It was based on one scripture. Now, he used a lot of scripture, but it was based on one. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. God, in this context, God speaking to the people. I will take revenge. This is God talking. I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. Today, it's important that all of us understand the powerful message that was preached that day. We are all hanging by a thread over an eternal darkness of separation and suffering, which is a better way of describing the absence of God's presence. Today, we are walking day by day on the edge of eternity. Maybe you don't think about it, but we're walking on the edge of eternity, hanging by a thin thread above the grave and hell itself. One day soon, your foot will slip. That's what the scripture's about. One day soon, your foot will slip. You're walking, you think everything's fine. One day soon, your foot will slip. And without divine intervention, you will fall helplessly into the darkness and the judgment of God. In that sermon, Edwards painted a mental picture of all of us suspended in the air above the fires of hell, God's judgment, all of us being held by a very frail, fine thread. The only thing holding us from the fire was the hand of God, the merciful hand of God, and our feet are beginning to slip. That's what this sermon was about. So I want to do something. And it goes easier if y'all participate, or at least pretend like you're participating. I want all of you to close your eyes for a moment. We're going to use our imagination. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about this entire assembly, all of us in this room today. each of us suspended above the eternal fire and darkness of hell. So underneath of your seat, underneath of this concrete slab, is an eternal fire of hell itself. And between that fire and our chair is the merciful hand of God, holding up us out of the darkness, out of hell. His hand. The hand of God represents the merciful presence of God, which is light itself, holding us out of the darkness. If God ever decides at any moment to move his hand from beneath us, we will all fall into hell, into eternal darkness. Now open your eyes back up. Let's come into present reality, because here it comes. That story is real. That's not imaginary. That story is us right now, today. And there's people in here, some of you get it. And there's some of you in here and you do not get it. You still don't get it. That right now, the only thing keeping you out of the fiery darkness of hell and God's wrath and judgment is the mercy and grace of God that is underneath of you, and your feet are slipping. And God sent his Son into this world to rescue you from that darkness. But all sin is so attractive. It's so much fun. Do you get it? I can't look at anybody in here and say, he gets it, she don't. I don't know. God knows. You see, here's the deal today. And I struggle with this in ministry. You don't have to believe it. I can't make you believe it, but I have to tell you. I have to tell you. The Holy Spirit, I am bound to tell you. Now, all of that is to tell you why that was our theme scripture. What? For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom, forgave our sin. Why is that so important? Why am I so passionate about this topic? Because this, much of my life, I hung by a thread above the fire of God. I get it. But God's merciful hand held me, kept me, sustained me during those rebellious years. He held me. He gave me time. He gave me the light. He gave me the Spirit. He gave me the Word. He gave me the truth. He gave me preachers. He gave me teachers. He gave me friends. He gave me people around me to continue to share the Word, to continue to share the light of truth. During that time of waiting, where the only thing saving me was his mercy. The only thing preventing me from falling headlong into hell was his grace. And during that time, he called my name. He said, Terry. Yes. He called my name. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit revealed the fact that one day my foot was going to slip. And he gave me eyes through the portal into my soul. I saw the darkness. His light exposed the darkness. I could see. Whoa, I could see. In that moment, I cried out to God. In that moment, I can tell you where I was at. I cried out to God, save me. In the name of Jesus, save me. He has saved me. Today, I give you a rescue story. He has saved me. Today, I am not held by a thread and my slippery feet above a fire of hell. No, today I am held by the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Messiah, and he never slips. That is my testimony. This is my rescue story, and I declare the truth of this verse to you today. But one thing before we close, I want to read to you what comes after those two theme verses that I've read over and over and over and over. Do you know what comes next? Because if you could ever figure out who he is and what comes after this rescue mission, well, I believe it would change you forever. And as I read this, can I just ask you, do you know him? For he, verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together right now. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, through Jesus, God the Father reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. He's talking to you today. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Separated from him by your evil thoughts and your evil actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. That's out of the darkness. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Can you say today with certainty that God has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son? I'm asking. You can. The blood of Jesus has purchased your freedom from the darkness of hell and forgiven your sins. That Jonathan Edwards sermon spawned a national revival, a great awakening. And here's the problem today. I wonder how many preachers in America would dare preach that sermon. Why? Because the darkness has crept inside the church and people like sin. Here's the big truth. Do you want the truth? It sets you free. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. It's not in here. You made it up. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. It's the truth. And there can be no repentance while your back is turned to God. You must turn around and face him. Face the light. Face the truth. Face the darkness of your own heart by facing his light. You must turn from the darkness and face the light of truth. We're all sinners in the hands of an angry God, a holy God. We're all hanging by a thin thread over the eternal darkness and suffering of hell. And our feet, maybe they're not slipping today, but they will. And in that dreadful moment of truth, God sent his son into our darkness. The most incredible rescue story ever happened on earth. And this is the last scripture today. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and he died for us sinners. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. There's the darkness. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us what? Friends of God. This is our rescue story. So in a moment, we're going to sing that song, Rescue Story. And I'm going to say there's two choices that you have in this room today. If you are in Christ and you have indeed been rescued from this darkness, wow, what a chance to sing a song of celebration. What a chance to worship Him in this song of celebrating our deliverance out of the darkness. But there's another option. Maybe in this room today, you know that you know that you know that you're still in the kingdom of darkness. And today, the mercy of God has held you out of the fire long enough so that you could be here today in this room and receive your rescue story. And you would confess Christ as Lord and Savior. You'd be born again of the water and born again of the Spirit. You'd become a new person with eyes that can see and ears that can hear and a heart that can receive, believe, and obey the Word and the light of truth. Why? Because one day, the darkness will become permanent. I'll ask Chad to come on now. So I'm warning you. I don't know how many days we got left. But one day the darkness will become permanent. And if you're in the darkness, when it becomes permanent, you will never escape. Whether that be the grave or whether that be the fire of hell itself, you can't get out. There's only one way, and it is the light that sets us free from the darkness. And you have to have that light. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to challenge you again. Church, I'm challenging you. If you are saved today, you've experienced this rescue story. What a time to sing a song. But if you're in this room today, can I just ask you why? Would you take a chance that the darkness would be forever when the light is right in front of you? Would you walk out that door and deny the Savior of the world, the one who comes from heaven? There's only one answer, right? Right? You don't believe it. You don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you'd receive it. Father, I pray that the light would come to this darkness. If there's any darkness here, that the light would shine, illuminate the darkness, cast out the darkness, and may the light of truth reveal you, the light of the world. In Jesus' name, and amen. The invitation's open. Let's stand.